Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This is series 4, episode 10, and this one is about the real Mexico.
Welcome back, everyone, to this Mexican adventure. We're just getting started. Well, we're halfway through, to be exact. We last left you when we were in San Cristobal de las Casas in the state of Chiapas in the south of Mexico. And what lies ahead, Amy?
Well, plenty. So, in this episode, we're going to cover Puerto Escondido. Oh, I said it too Spanish. Puerto Escondido.
Too English.
Puerto Escondido, Oaxaca, Mexico City, Puebla, León, Guanajuato, Guadalajara, Puerto Vallarta, and Tijuana. That's all the places. But we're also going to be talking about Mexican food like tacos. We're going to be talking about traditions like Temazcal, giving speeches in high schools, football games, Mexican families. We're going to be talking about all the things you can do in Mexico City. And one of us claims it as our favorite capital city in the world. We talk about lucha libre, wrestling, Frida Kahlo, the artist, and her husband Diego Rivera, cowboys drinking tequila, the place tequila, the pyramids, of course, just outside Mexico City, and of course, we hear from plenty of local Mexicans.
Loads.
Is that right?
That's all right. Are you sending it to me or are you on the recording on the podcast? We'll leave that in. That is absolutely all right. Loads of stuff coming up about Mexico. Like I said, we are halfway through. And if you haven't already listened to our last Mexico episode, then go and do it. There's so much stuff in there all about the tourist side of Mexico.
So there's no game show facts this time because that was on the last Mexico episode. We're going to go straight into the places that you should or should not visit. We're going to tell you about the prices, what you can do there, all of that great stuff. So let's start with Puerto Escondido. Starting on a high then, are we?
Yeah, not so much. Yeah, so most of what we're going to talk about is going to be good in this episode. But Puerto Escondido, like we've said, it's in the state of Oaxaca, beach town. We just weren't very impressed. It was just like you can get many different beach towns around the world where they're kind of all a bit similar. They're very touristic, of course. That's the main industry. But they're just a bit run down, not very nice. And there was nothing really there apart from the odd like taco stand. There was nothing really there that stood out and said Mexico to me. It could have been a beach town anywhere in the world, like Goa. Or, do you know what I mean? It could have been anywhere.
Yeah, I just thought of a good comparison. So if you're from England, you'll probably know what I mean. And if you've visited England or this place, you'll know what I mean. I would say Puerto Escondido is Mexico's version of Southend-on-Sea. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, sorry to the Mexicans out there, but it's a bit tacky and it's just seaside place where they sell buckets and spades. And you're like, hun, I was looking for a paradise, but I've ended up here.
Yeah, Southend, strange place. A lot of English people would still go there on their holiday in the summer, but it's just not nice. And yeah, it's dirty. It is, isn't it? Last time I was there, I thought it just needs a good clean. It needs a scrub.
And I remember thinking that about Puerto Escondido. Like, I loved all of the places in Mexico apart from this place and also Guadalajara, which we'll talk about later, but that was for different reasons. But this place just needed a good clean. I don't think we really got to see the side of why people visit there. I don't know why, but I don't know. It was just a bit of a weird one. Maybe we were in a lull of our travels, but we did not get a good vibe of that place. So we only stayed there for like 3 nights and then moved on our journey and then everything went up from there. But yeah, I just feel like, especially if you've been to the Cancun area and like Bacala, all of that, you do not need to go to this beach. Honestly, like skip that and get straight to Oaxaca City because that's golden. Like we didn't have enough time for that place, unfortunately, which we wish we did. But yeah, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I wish we had the time in Escondido for the extra time in Oaxaca City. That's a good point. I still quite enjoyed swimming in the sea there. Like the sea and the beach is the best thing there. For me, the problem was more the town. And it wasn't a great beach, don't get me wrong, but I still quite enjoyed it. But it was the town for me that was the problem. But you're right, I wish we had more time in Oaxaca. So should we talk about Oaxaca now?
Yeah, but just one last...
Talk about Oaxaca now.
One last little tip, though, if you are thinking about going to Puerto Escondido and you're not so much of a strong swimmer, it's a really strong wavy sea there. Like, it's hard to get in. You know when it's like hard to get out of a sea because you don't want to fall over and look stupid in front of everyone on the beach? This is hard to get in because the waves are so hard. Once you're in there, you're okay because you're floating up and down. But yeah, it was one of those seabeds where it just suddenly drops and then you just can't touch the floor. It was a very weird one, but it was quite fun. Like, I'm pretty sure I got knocked over by the water and you were laughing at me.
Yeah, you have to time getting in to avoid the waves. But no, you are right. But that's why it's great for surfers. It's quite like famous for Mexico, I guess. Famous like surf beach town.
Yeah, so if you're a surfer, great place. But other than that, I wouldn't make the journey there, to be honest.
Yeah, if you're there anyway, fine. But no, don't go out of your way. Because I remember then we got a bus to Oaxaca City.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
And on the map, it's just like one road. You can see clearly where we're going to go. It's just straight up to Oaxaca City. But the bus route took us like, instead of going kind of north, we went east for like
8 hours.
Yeah, 8 hours to get to a town where we dropped off people, picked up more people, just to kind of do like a 90 degree or more, like almost like a 180 back on ourselves to do another 8 hours to Oaxaca City.
It was horrendous because we didn't know we were doing that. And then we were like, why is the bus going east?
Yeah, like
we're watching on our map thinking, where are we going?
Yeah, we thought we were going to be in Oaxaca City for like 5 p.m. Lovely, check in, get a bit of dinner. We didn't get there till like 3 a.m., I think.
Anyway, moving on to brighter and lighter conversations, let's talk about Oaxaca City. This was a brilliant one, wasn't it? Very Mexican, like what you imagine in your head to be Mexican, it's this place. Lots of colour, lots of beautiful streets, lots of amazing Mexican people on the side of the street selling tacos and other things as well. Oh, it is just beautiful.
Yeah, particularly the square in the center of the town. We sat there a few times, had some food, watched. There was like some sort of school, a group of kids were playing music on the street, like the whole class was there. Just, yeah, proper Mexican town. Something you'd expect, you know, like when people watch the film Coco. You know what I mean? That sort of Mexico. I know it's not actually based there in Oaxaca City, but you know what I mean? Like Amy's saying, colorful, beautiful, very touristic. But I wouldn't say very, actually. Yes, there are lots of tourists there. Doesn't ruin the town, but there's a reason why the tourists are there. You know, we were one of those, or we were two of those tourists. We're there because it's such a beautiful place.
Yeah, and it's actually really famous for its food as well. So when you're there, make sure you get some of the local delicacies because each region of Mexico has its own little touch on the different dishes. So definitely, I think that's my main advice throughout Mexico is that the food is so cheap that you can eat out every night. You don't have to be cooking in your hostels because, like, you can get tacos for, like, £5 for a pound. So no need to cook. Just sample all of the food in all of the different states and you'll have a great time. Now, while we were in the state of Oaxaca, we heard about something that was really traditional that we should experience. I think we heard this from my friend Gabby, who I will explain in a bit. This experience was proper indigenous traditional, though, not Spanish, Mexican traditional. It's called a temazcal.
Okay, I'm Blanca.
I am Osbelia.
And the name of your company?
Seviarem Temazcal.
Let's hear from Blanca and Osbelia, who are going to tell us exactly what a temazcal is.
Well, temazcal is a ritual that is made for healing purpose. It is a womb that represents the womb of a mother. So when you go inside to the womb of a mother, you go there to heal your three bodies, the physical body, the energetic body, and the emotional body. So when you heal the three bodies, you will be completely healed. So you will be preparing yourself to reborn, but with conscience. Consciously, you're going to get reborn, and you need to choose how you want it to get reborn. For that purpose, today's name is Temazcali. That means the room with heat. Could be translated like steam, but actually the heat of the temazcal is dry. It is not wet. So doesn't matter how hot it gets inside, it's never going to hurt your skin because it's looking to heal and go directly looking for your bones.
Mm-hmm.
mezcal is not a recipe. It is depends on the energy of the people that come inside the temazcal will be the experience that they have. So it's not like you put this after this after this. The temazcal is telling you how it's going to develop. So that is very important for the people to know. Then depends on them, of their own healing, is how the temazcal is going to work. And it's going to be wonderful, pretty sure.
The temazcal is not going to be the same, even for the same person that visit us. If you came today, temazcal tomorrow is going to be very different. Very different, depending on how your energy is, how the element is, the weather as well. Because it depends on the weather, the station, the different elements and the herbs that we use inside the temazcal. If it's, for example, hot season, the herbs have to be fresh. If it's October, then we have the Day of the Dead, so we use more the marigold flowers inside, the smell of the camphor, the smell of the incense. So the elements are different depending on the seasonal as well.
Okay, so what actually happens when you're inside this hot room?
Well, a lot of things happens there. Sometimes we don't want to spoil the experience for the people that it's about to come. But there inside the room, there are a lot of things happening, not only pre-Hispanic sounds, but a lot of rubbing with some herbs, different kind of herbs, not only the basil and spearmint, but others. And when people decide to do a healing, sometimes we use a lot of things like mezcal. We use different mixtures to feed your body through the skin. Nothing is to eat. Sometimes people want to eat it, but it's not allowed. And we have a lot of homemade creams that help your body to get rid of the pain, physical pain, sometimes emotional pain as well. And, well, we have pre-Hispanic chanting as well. And it doesn't matter if you don't know any of it. By the sounds, you can do the healing.
Okay. Now, who were the people a long time ago that practiced this?
Many cultures did this in Mexico, pre-Hispanic people. But depending on the culture that specializes in this is how it's going to be inside and that will be the experience. For example, the Zapotec people was a culture that was very well developed. They were no warriors. They were more healers. They have a lot of art. They have architects, engineers, doctors inside of that culture. So they specialize in healing. Now, for example, the Mixtec people, they were more warriors. So the temazcal expressed that because it's more for purification. So it's more for suffering because their souls were more in trouble for the acts than they made. Zapotecs, no. The Zapotecs decide to go for more gentle approach. So that is the reason the temazcal, Zapotec temazcal, is more enjoyable. But it doesn't mean it's not effective. That means that it's specialized in healing. So that's the reason we always say that it's for the healing of the three bodies. It's very important, the three bodies, because we see ourselves like only one body, like the physical body, because it's the one that we can touch. But the energetic body is very important as well. And the emotional body is one of the bodies that make more trouble in our physical body. If you're sad, if you're anger, if you had some problems when you were a child, that will express in pain and suffering in the physical body. So we need to heal the three of them, not only one.
How many years old is Temazcal?
It's pre-Hispanic, so it is
before Jesus Christ even.
Wow.
Yes.
He is very old.
Okay.
Nobody exactly know when it start because it's very, very old.
Right.
Yeah. And you can see it, for example, in the ruins. We have some rituals done, the rooms that were used for Temazcal.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And finally, where can people find you or how can people find you if they want to come here and experience it?
Well, we always said we never think like the flyers or everything else. It's a good way to get to know the real temazcals. So we always said a recommendation is the best way. So you can find us on TripAdvisor, not because we wanted it, but our visitors open up the page and tell us that that's a good way where people and visitors can recommend by their own words to describe the experience and how good the temazcal is. So you can find us on TripAdvisor, you can find us on Facebook page as well, and you can get in touch with us directly. I mean, our cell phone numbers are there, so you can talk directly to me or with Otvelia or even Joshave. The three of us is like to give you the welcome to our home, and well, you're very welcome to come anytime you want.
Thank you to Blanca and Otvelia there to explain the background of a temazcal and what it actually is. Just to reiterate their name, so it's Seviarim Temazcal, and that's spelt Seviarem, and then Temazcal is Temazcal. So that's their brand name. And you know what? When we travel, we always tell you that we did things the cheapest way to keep our money going longer, but this was the one thing that we really splashed out on. We heard a lot of mixed reviews about a temazcal, and we thought if we're gonna do it, let's do it properly rather than going like to a really touristic one and not having a very good experience. So we went with this one, and I cannot fault them at all. We had such a beautiful experience. We're not very spiritual people or religious or anything like that, so we weren't really sure what kind of experience we would have from it. But when we came out, I felt so emotional. I cried when we were in there, in the womb, if you will. It's like a dome-shaped garage out in the garden, and you go, you crawl through the door, and yeah, that's the womb that you're in. But I felt so emotional. I cried when we were in there, because there was a point when she said that she will be singing and making noises, and we can join in with her if we feel we want to. And at one point she was doing like wolf noises, and I was looking at Nick, and like we both kind of like smiled and chuckled at each other, thinking like, because you do, it's a little bit embarrassing sometimes, like in our culture we're not comfortable with things like this, so you kind of laugh it off. But then I was like, I feel really sad because I really want to join in and do this and just like full on go in. I was like, but why don't, and I was having this like internal battle thinking, why aren't I doing it? And I looked at Nick and I thought, but I'm not embarrassed to do anything in front of him. He's my husband. And I was like, I'm never going to meet this woman again. And this is something she's doing it herself. Like, why can't I just scream and shout like a wolf? And so,
and you did.
I did it. I it was the first time I just really let go. And I was just like, oh.
You were loving it. You were howling like a wolf, your tears running down your face. Ow.
I was covered in like chocolate, orange juice, aloe vera. Oh,
it's mental.
Cactus juice. It was amazing. It was, but do you know what? The thing that surprised me the most was you.
Yeah, I loved it. I was ready to hate it.
You were so, like, I was near on forcing you through that door.
This is your idea to do it. I'm like, because it's not cheap. It's, I think it's like 50 quid, and I think each.
£50 each. That's £100. What's that in dollars? What, 120 for both of us?
Yeah, I think. But I mean, yeah, get in touch with the company if you're in Oaxaca City and have a word with them. They were so good. They were proper professional. Welcomed us into their home, explained everything to us. Even if we weren't doing this podcast, they still would have sat down with us and explained everything. Really nice people. It's a proper family business. And I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really good. Yes, it was weird when she's rubbing chocolate and, yeah, rubbing all different foods and drinks all over us.
You did something wrong. Not wrong, but you broke something in
there. Oh, yeah, no, you're right. She gave us like this mixture, concoction of herbs and stuff. And then we had to put an egg in it or something.
An egg that's still in its shell.
We had to like dip an egg in its shell, dip the egg in, then I think rub the egg all over our body, the whole egg. But as soon as I grabbed the egg, my strong manly hands crushed it. I destroyed the egg. But she, and I was like, oh, sorry. But she's like, no, like there's no mistakes in here. It was always supposed to happen.
She was just so motherly, wasn't she?
But no, I thought it was brilliant. While she was doing it, she was talking in English the whole time, but giving like life advice, but stuff I really agreed with. She was saying,
yes.
She was saying like, you know, happiness comes from within. You know, you might, if you're an unhappy person, you might look for other people to make you happy. But if you're not happy inside, no one else can make you happy. Like things like that. And I'm agreeing with it all. And yeah, it did get very spiritual. And like Amy said, we're not spiritual people, but we thought, let's enjoy it. Let's make the most of it. But I thought it was brilliant. Felt good afterwards. I enjoyed it while it was happening. It was just so foreign to us, so different. And we embraced it. And yeah, like I said, I thought she spoke a lot of sense. I thought it was really good. I surprised myself.
Yeah, I was really surprised. And like, I was so happy that you enjoyed it as well. Where, yeah, you were more happy when you came out. But we just seemed so... We were just so grateful to be alive when we came out. It was such an amazing experience.
We were reborn.
We literally were reborn, and we just kind of gave us energy for the rest of the trip, I think.
Oh, and something I want to mention, she also rubbed like an alcohol on us, mezcal, isn't it? And that's like a very Mexican alcoholic drink, a bit like tequila, but it's not, it's different. But great. We would really recommend doing a temazcal, something so authentic and traditional. And of course, I'd recommend it with Blanca and Osvelia. I'm sure there's loads of other good companies out there. Just like Amy was saying earlier, we heard there's also some not very good ones where they just get loads of tourists in, do it quick, get them out, next.
And if you don't want to do it for the spiritual reasons, our Temescal leader had the most beautiful skin I've ever seen in my entire life. She was, what, about 70 or 80? And when she yeah. told us, I was like, I thought you were younger than me.
Yeah, it's because she's in there like every day. Yeah, seriously. It's
she was beautiful.
It's had a good... All right, Amy? no, yeah, you can tell. It's obviously very good for your skin and for your body. She just seemed very flexible and just at peace and happy and... You know, she was like Mother Teresa.
Moving on to our next place, we passed through Mexico City, which we will come back to, don't worry, but we were on our way to a place called Leon. Now, we were going there to stay with my friend Gabby and her husband James, who's also our friend.
Nah, we're just friends with Gabby.
It just sounded funny, my friend Gabby and James. So I met Gabby when I was around 12 years old. She came to England to my boarding school and we became best friends. She ended up staying at my house most weekends because she like lived at the school but would rather be in a home with me. And so she invited me back to Mexico when I was younger. So I actually had been to Mexico before when I was 13, met all of her family. She lives in Leon. And she just so happened to be in Mexico at the same time because she's now married to an English guy and she lives here in England. But they just so happened to be in Mexico at the same time.
Good sum up. So that's who they are. And for people who have listened and watched or listened to our podcast and watched our videos on YouTube, you would have seen that we went to a place in Mexico called Huasteca Potosina and we were with Gabby and James then. So that's who they are. You're now up to speed. So in Leon... Okay, not really your typical tourist destination, proper Mexican city. We got up to a few things there. I mean, it was mostly just hanging out. We were there for like the best part of 2 weeks, I think, because, you know, we've been traveling for a long time. We're tired. It's nice just to be in a family home and just relax and not really do too much. But this was all about spending time with Gabby's family, which is fantastic, particularly her grandma, Titi.
Oh, Titi.
Very cute and such a nice lady. But, you know,
but with an opinion.
Oh, don't cross her for sure. Lovely lady. If you're on her good side, trust me. But just a really nice, authentic, you know, you couldn't, unless you know the local people there, you couldn't get this type of experience. So fascinating and really, really nice time with them. We also got up to a couple of things. I mean, Leon, didn't we, Amy?
Yes, we actually did a speech in a high school. Now, if you follow us on social media, you would have seen this because Gabby's family run a school and Gabby thought it'd be good to get us in and do a speech to the kids and talk about, you know, you don't always have to take this traditional route in life. You don't have to become a lawyer or a doctor or get all of these amazing jobs, which, don't get me wrong, would be incredible, but there are other routes. If that isn't something that you fancy doing, then you can travel the world, yeah, like us,
or at least take a break, take a year out, because it's something that happens a lot in Europe and Australia, but not really much, especially Latin America. doesn't really happen much there. It's not encouraged by families. So I think the kids' parents would have hated us. We've come in and we're like, hey, kids, don't get a job. You can travel instead. That was a really nice experience for us to go in there, speak to the kids. And that you could, like, there was a few who were really into it. They were really interested. There were some who couldn't care less. But the ones who were interested, they were asking loads of questions at the end. And then two even invited us back like a week later and they interviewed us in their own like radio studio. They've got such good equipment there, and because we do a podcast, the tables were turned and they were interviewing us, and they did a podcast for their school
in their second language.
We're talking in English the whole time. The kids are also talking in English. Clever kids, way more clever than me and you. And it was just really nice to share, you know, a bit of our experience with them and hopefully inspire some kids.
Yeah, and this is all, we're telling you this because it's just so important to get in with the locals when you travel. I know this is a unique situation. I met Gabby when I was younger. You couldn't really put a price on that, really. But if you can infiltrate the locals in any way, shape or form, whether that's through the couch surfing app or any way, just meet someone in a restaurant and suggest meeting somewhere else and meeting their family, it just boosts your trip so much. It was incredible. So alongside the school, we also went to a football game with her family. And like Nick said, we were hanging out with her nan Titi quite a lot. We took her for ice cream. She's super cute. It was a really great experience. We also went to Guanajuato City with them. So this is about an hour drive from Leon. This is, I think, our biggest recommendation for Mexico.
What a gem.
What we said before with Oaxaca, it being a very traditional Mexican town, times that by 100 and you get Guanajuato City. It is beautiful, very artistic, it's amazing. And Nick, you actually think quite highly of it as well.
I thought it was the best city in Mexico. It was my favourite city. And I'd never heard of it before going. There were more tourists there than I thought. Like, it's not a secret, don't get me wrong, but a lot less than Oaxaca for sure. And I thought it was way better. We saw loads of like Mexican cowboys riding around town on horses,
drinking tequila from hip flasks,
actually drinking tequila, mariachi bands. And like Amy said, it is an artistic place. It's where the famous Mexican artist Diego Rivera, is that right?
No, Rivera.
Diego Rivera, that's where he's from, and he's actually the husband of, I can't remember her name now,
Frida Kahlo,
the most famous like Mexican person in history. But that's where he's from. Also, many Mexican artists are from there. And just you look at the town and there's beauty and art everywhere. There's so many art museums and galleries you can go to. So if you're particularly into art, then do that. I was super, super impressed with Guanajuato City, which is, we should say, the capital city of the state. We're in Guanajuato State. Leon is also in Guanajuato State. But do you want me to say it again? Guanajuato City is the capital of Guanajuato State.
Well done. And just going back to Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. So the interesting thing about them is that Diego, the husband, was actually far more famous when they were alive out of the two of them. Everybody knew Diego. I mean, mostly because all the women had slept with him.
Bit of a player, wasn't he?
And all of the husbands probably hated him because all the women were sleeping with him.
He wasn't a looker though, was he? He was,
well,
just famous,
not in
wasn't
my
he?
Books he wasn't, no. I guess that's subject to what you like. But yeah, he was the more famous one. But since they've both passed away, she is definitely more famous. And if you don't know exactly who we're talking about, you've 100% seen a picture of her. She's the Mexican artist who has all the colorful flowers in her hair and she has the unibrow. Yeah, that's Frida Kahlo.
Everyone knows Frida. She's on like merchandise. Her face is on merchandise around the world. Even in places that have got no Mexican connection at all, you can get like a Frida bag, can't you?
Yeah, we saw a lot of it in Brazil, weirdly.
Oh, they love it. Loads of Frida.
Right, so let's hear from our very own Frida Kahlo.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's hear from Gabby. Well, you know, Gabby's an opinionated woman and she's strong like Frida, so I feel like she's my personal Frida Kahlo. But let's hear from her. So she may live in England, but she is very, very proud of her home country.
I actually don't know any Mexican that isn't proud of being Mexican. Why? The first thing that comes to my head is like the colours of the country.
I'm proud of the colors, I'm proud of the people. Everyone's very helpful.
I feel. I'm proud of, sounds weird, but I'm proud of like our flag. I'm proud of how proud we are. Every Wednesday when you're in school, if you're in a private or public school, every school in the country has either Wednesday or Monday, you have honors to the flag. So you have something like 30 to 45 minutes just honoring the flag. And there's six students that are chosen. I believe it's six students or five students that are chosen. They're supposed to be the best grade students chosen to carry the flag. And every student always aspires to be those children.
And do you sing your national anthem when that happens?
Uh-huh. And you have to also every day at 12 midday and 12 midnight in every radio station, all the radio stop to do the national anthem.
Every day?
Every day.
Twice a day?
Twice a day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's really cool. Like, some people would think it's propaganda within the country, but I really like the fact that Mexicans are proud of being Mexicans, and I'm proud of that.
We agree with you. We love Mexico. We think it's a great place, but like any country in the world, it has problems. So as a Mexican person yourself, what do you think are the problems that Mexico has?
Well, number one is the insecurity. I guess the demand that there is for drugs in Europe and in the United States, and also I guess in Mexico, I don't want to say there's no demand in Mexico, of course there is, but we make the drugs, or we facilitate the passing of the drugs, which then means that there's so much insecurity. And there are, what is the biggest problem? I guess it's corruption, but then it's a vicious circle, because the most powerful person in Mexico can't stop it. There's never been a woman Mexican president, so I will say him, but he will put himself in a very dangerous situation by saying no to the cartel. So I guess it's just that vicious circle.
And while we're on the subject of Mexico never having a female president, can you tell me who's going to be our future, I say our, the future president of Mexico? Female president, sorry?
Me.
Yes.
Yes.
There we go. I would vote for you, Gabby. I would.
I would vote for you.
But is that actually a serious dream of yours, or is it kind of like a joke?
Oh, no. It really was a serious dream of mine. I even met the former Mexican president. At the time, he was the president, Fox. And I was like asking him about it and being like, seriously, I want to be the Mexican president. What do I need to do? And he was very like realistic, like, you know, it's not as easy as you think. It's not just politics. It's a lot of attending events that are really boring. I remember him saying, I was like, that's just because you make it boring. Like, you know, that's your decision. But no, now I guess my career, and selfishly, I want other things for myself, but it is not a dream that I've discarded.
What do you think about the bad reputation that Mexico has? Does it upset you?
Yeah, you know, it really upsets me. I mean, selfishly, it upsets me as an actress, that as a Mexican actress, I'm always up for the narco wife or the whore that the narco, you know, at the party. You know, it is, I'd say, maybe for series and movies, 7 out of 10 auditions are to do with a drug cartel. And it's just boring. It's just like, why is that? That's not pushing me as an actress. That's another representation that I don't need to see, because those stories have been told. There are other ways of telling those stories in a more interesting way and more realistic way to hopefully make a change. Because right now I see series on Netflix, and all of a sudden I find myself being on the side of the drug lord. And I'm like, oh my God, no, El Chapo, come on, get out. And then I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? Oh my God, what? You know, so yeah, it's upsetting within my career, but obviously it's upsetting with every other Mexican out there, because every other Mexican that gets to go outside of Mexico, the first thing people ask without a doubt is, is it really dangerous? Are you okay? Like,
and while we're on that subject, can you explain, because the text is in Spanish, I forwarded you a text about Mexico. Can you briefly tell us what that's about? Because you know the famous names that they mention.
Yeah, so it was really cool, because it was basically an American person, but I guess it doesn't have to be an American, but, you know, any person that's not from Mexico asking a Mexican, going, oh, are you from Mexico? Oh, so
is your, because it's happened to me before, ignorant people going, oh, kind of like, is your uncle Pablo Escobar, which Pablo Escobar is not even from Mexico, but you know, that has been a question. And the text goes, oh, the Mexican goes, answers back going, oh, are you an addict? Is that what you're interested in? Are you into drugs? And the American person is going, oh, no, I shouldn't be calling them American because I am American, because I live in America as well, yeah. The continent. So the U.S. people, they go, oh, no, well, they kind of like are lost for words. And then the Mexican goes, because if you were into sport, then you would know that Ana Gabriela Guevara was, you know, she won gold in the Olympics once. I mean, we have loads of gold medalists that I can't think of who are they at the moment.
But then it also says, like, if you're into art, you would mention Frida Kahlo or Diego Rivera.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chavez Morado. If you're into architecture, Luis Barragán. If you're into literature, you would mention Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz or Octavio Paz, or, you know, there are so many good people that have come out of Mexico, not just drug lords. So yeah, that's what the text is about. It's more about, okay, well, where are your interests and why are you interested in the drug lords? Why are you giving them the time of day?
And so now can we focus on a little bit about León? So we're in the state of Guanajuato. You've grown up in León, well, half León and half in England. But would you suggest a tourist comes here? Like, what do you think they should do if they do choose to come to León?
Well, León is a very industrial city. León is famous for shoemaking and leather. So if as a tourist you want to buy shoes or leather, yes, it's very cheap, it's very good.
Very cheap. I just bought some leather shoes and I think they're about £6.
Also, Guanajuato's estate is a stunning place. It is where the Mexican independence was created. It was born here. It is stunning. When I say the colors, when I said what do you like about Mexico, it's the colors, and you can see that in the Guanajuato state. You can see it in Guanajuato. You can see it in San Miguel de Allende. You can go to Peña de Bernal, which is a really cool hike / mountain. And there's also like a magic town, they call them Pueblo Mágico, there as well. León is like the belly button of all these beautiful towns surrounding it, and the food is great. Yeah,
I agree. I wanna live in Guanajuato. I really like it. That's a song. We'll have to explain. Maybe we'll play a clip of the song. Finally, I think we should ask James, as an outsider. See, we're talking about dangerous places. James is from a place called Morecambe, which is muy peligroso. That's my Spanish. It's very dangerous. Of course, I'm joking. James, you are Gabby's husband. So as an Englishman who spent a lot of time in Mexico, tell us your thoughts, my man.
Good and bad? Okay. So I do love it, as in the culture's amazing, the food's amazing. There's an incredible history. There's obviously the Mexicas.
Yeah.
I tried to be intelligent. They're not Aztecans. They're Mexicas. Yep.
So what are they?
Mexicas. Aztecans like an American name. But
I mean,
digress.
There's just a lot of.
They're the same people as the Aztecas, but
yeah. Are they correct?
The
name?
Original name.
Yeah. Okay. Incredible archaeology. There's, you know, just incredible science. However, the one thing I've noticed, as in being from England and kind of, although equality is getting worse, there's still reasonable equality. Like, there are some things that happen in Mexico and in poor countries in general that you just strike you as upsetting, you know. So there's poverty in the streets, there are people that you need to help, there's, you know, limited opportunity, there's a hierarchical structure and things like that, and that's the difficulty. And it all kind of manifests in, not the supply of drugs, because that you don't see it, but, you know, it manifests itself into that kind of all the corruption, all those kind of things is something that you struggle to accept as a foreign person. But I don't want to overplay it. It's not something that you see every day, right?
And I think, yes, it exists, but it's a very small part of Mexico.
Exactly. Let's not overreg it. Like, Mexico is dangerous. However, the fortunate yet incredibly unfortunate thing about Mexico is it's not dangerous for rich people. It's not dangerous for foreign tourists. It's dangerous for the average poor Mexican.
thanks Gabby and James, our great hosts, for a lot of our time in Mexico. You guys made it extra special.
Yeah.
So next, we head back to Ciudad de México. Did I say that right?
Oh, you said that like the indigenous way.
Yeah, see? Proper. I know what I'm talking about. Mexico City, the capital of the country. And at this point, we think it's a good idea to bring our mate Becky into the mix and mug her off.
You what?
Can you
sing with me?
Yeah, come on then.
What? No.
You don't even say the words.
That's how he sings it.
Now, this was a regular thing. She'd always break out into song and we stitch her up secretly recording her. Let's hear some more. Time for her Alicia Keys.
Oh, I didn't hit that note then, did I?
No. She is a special child. I mean, she's great. I wouldn't change it for the world, but I think there's something wrong with her. But she's been on the podcast quite a lot, actually. She's been on our Iceland episode. She was like the referee or the quizmaster for our game on the Bolivia episode. And Huasteca Portosina, the mini episode that's just recently come out, she's on that as well. She's on it loads.
She's taking over.
Bloody hell. But yeah, she joined us. She flew out to Mexico City to travel like this kind of second part of Mexico with us. She'd never been backpacking before. And like the circumstances were right at home with work for her to take a bit of time off. And she just thought, why not? I'm going to do it. But it was great because she was able to do it with us. So we were kind of her traveling parents. She thought we knew what we were doing, but what she didn't know is we're blagging it as we go. None of us know what we're doing or where we're going.
Yeah, she'd be like, where are we staying here? We're like, we don't know, we haven't got there yet.
just don't worry, Becky. Or she's like, maybe we should do this, guys. We're like, I'll be quiet.
Oh, shush.
Right, okay, so Mexico City, so much to do. This place is massive. Amazing place, right?
It is unbelievably massive and incredible. It is one of those... I'd say it's my favourite capital city in the world.
Oh,
that's big talk, that, isn't it?
That's a big call. Favourite capital city, yeah.
I guess I can't... Does that include London?
No, like, it doesn't include your own...
That's my capital city.
Yeah, it doesn't include your own country.
Yeah, but I'd actually say it's my favourite capital city. I cannot believe how much there is to do there. I am on the Mexico Facebook group, and people go to Mexico City and then get stuck there for months because they just can't leave.
For sure. And there's that much to do. We're only going to scratch the surface on this podcast. But let's get started. Let's start learning about this place in the best way possible on a free walking tour, of course.
Hi, my name is Belen Chavez. I work with Mexico Walking Tours.
So we asked Belen to explain something that we had heard. Mexico City is sinking.
This is a very interesting question because not a lot of people know about it. It's because the Aztecs, they decided to build the city over the water, over, this was a lake, and that's why we have more like a jelly, like a colloidal land, and that's why we're sinking, plus the earthquakes. We are in a place where we have a lot of earthquakes almost every day. We have one. And we also have had very bad ones. So because of the type of land and because of the earthquake, that's the reason of why we're sinking.
So why did the Aztecs build a city on a lake? Yeah. Why?
It's like kind of, it's not very logical.
It doesn't make any sense.
But it's because one of their gods, the main god, the war god, Huitzilopochtli, he told them that they had this promised land, but they need to build it in the place where they finally found the special sign. The special sign would be an eagle standing on a cactus eating a snake. So unfortunately, they found it on this little island that we're going to call it Tenochtitlan, and that's why they decided to build it here.
Okay, so now since traveling through Mexico, we've heard a lot about your history, of course, and you have the Aztecs and you have the Mayans.
Yes.
But how different were they in time? Did the Mayans come first? And yeah, how different in time were they both?
Yes. First, the time. The Mayans, they were 2,000 years before Christ until 1,000 years after Christ. The Aztecs arrived here in 1325. So they have 325 years of difference, okay? Second thing, the Mayans, they were only in the south part of Mexico and Central America. The Aztecs, they were only here in the center area of Mexico. Third thing, the Mayans, they were most intellectual. So they were like astronomers, philosophers, mathematicians. They discovered the zero, for example. And the Aztecs, they were intelligent, but for war. They were mainly warriors. and they were very, very religious, much more than the Mayans.
And talking about them being religious, they're quite famous for their sacrifices. Can you explain a little bit of what they used to do?
Yes, sure. They did it in this in a pyramid that we call it the Major Temple, and they put a curvy stone in this temple, and then they put the person on it, so the person was like kind of relaxing. And then the priest took this obsidian knife. The obsidian is a volcanic stone, and then he made a deep incision just behind the ribs. He put his hand inside, and then he started looking for the heart. He rips it, he wraps it, and then he showed this to the people. But especially for he offered this for mainly two gods: the rain god Tlaloc, and the war and the sun god Huitzilopochtli.
Okay, now Mexico today, in some parts of the world, maybe has a bit of a negative reputation. Yeah. But would you say, is Mexico? Actually, two questions. Is Mexico a poor country? That's my first question.
I don't think that Mexico is a poor country. First, we have a lot of history, cuisine, like talking about the cultural way, we are a very rich country. And talking about the economical situation, we are not a poor country. We are considered like in the third world, but it's still, you are going to find a lot of rich people, there is a lot of money here. There is a lot of money. So what I would say is that we have more inequality. That's the main thing, the main problem here. But no, I don't think we are a poor country.
And to follow that, is Mexico a dangerous country?
No, of course not. I mean, you have to be careful, like in all big cities, especially in Mexico City or things like that. But you can walk, you can do a lot of things here. It's not the same way that in the news, in the global news, that they put the image about Mexico. So I invite you, well, you're already here, but I invite the people that are listening to you that come here and to take the chance to visit it and to feel it, and you are going to find out that it's a very beautiful and special place.
Thank you, Belen, for your time and for the fantastic walking tour of Mexico City.
Now we're going to move on to something very dear to my heart, something I've already spoken about a little bit, Frida Kahlo, the Mexican artist. Now, she comes from a place called Coyoacán, which is just, it's still within Mexico City, but it's kind of like a borough. And she has a place called La Casa Azul there, and that's the house that she grew up in. It's now turned into a museum. Now, because she's always been a fascination of mine, I studied photography at university, and one of my projects was based on her, and I tried to recreate a modern Frida. I actually photographed Gabby. I should look at those photos.
Oh, yeah,
again.
I forgot about
try
that.
Try and find them. Yeah, she's just always been a fascination of mine. I guess since I met Gabby, maybe because it was her fascination, like kind of rubbed off on me. But I just love how much of a strong woman she is. And, you know, she was very pro women in a time where that wasn't really even a thing. She was incredible. But she also has a really incredible story as well. So at a very young age, she was traveling on a tram or like a bus, and there was a big accident, and she had one of the handrails on the tram literally cut through her body in a very private area, guys. Like,
her
virginity was taken by this hand pole. And I'm not saying that in a joking way. It actually happened, and she was paralyzed, and like, she had to spend time in bed for like a year in bed, just laying there. And so loads of awful things has happened to this woman. She's just like risen and risen. She's incredible. There's loads of films out there if you want to learn more. I think it's really important to learn about these people because, you know, like you said, everybody sees her on this merchandise, but no one really knows who she is and what she went through. It's the same as like the Cuban Revolution guy, Che Guevara. Like, everybody sees his face and people wear his t-shirt. But, you know, if you don't understand who he is, you're making quite a political statement by wearing his t-shirt. So, yeah, I would highly recommend watching the films. I think one of them is literally called Frida. But yeah, incredible woman, so worth knowing about. And so I went to her museum by myself. I said to Nick, if you're not too bothered, it's something I'd really like to do by myself while we're traveling. So I went and spent the day there, and it was lovely. You get to see all of her paintings. If you're interested, two of my favorite paintings of her is one is called The Two Fridas, and there's another one called Henry Ford Hospital. And it's really dark because she can't have children and she had miscarriages. So she portrays a lot of that in her work, and it's really strong, quite hard to look at sometimes. Like the Henry Ford Hospital painting, she has her pelvis kind of coming out of her, out of the bed, and an unborn fetus. It's, yeah, it's quite dark, but I think it's really strong stuff. So, yeah, that's my little Frida Kahlo rant over.
Good. So that's Frida's house that anyone can visit. La Casa Azul, the blue house. And I think you have to get your ticket online before you go.
Oh, yeah, the queues, guys. I'm not much of a museum person, but I cannot believe how long the queues are. They're outside the house going down the street. So make sure you get your ticket, because I got in. I still had to wait in the queue, even though I had a ticket. It was really, really busy, and that's normal. So, yeah, make sure you get your ticket online before.
Yeah, and getting around, I just mentioned now, getting around Mexico City. Yeah, it's a massive place. Uber, like if you're from like United States or if you're from somewhere in like Western Europe, Uber is very cheap, easy way to get around. But the metro is good. Like we use the metro a lot in Mexico City. It goes to many places. It accesses a lot of the city and it's so cheap. Well, like 5 pesos for one journey. And that could be a journey anywhere in the city, which is like 15p. So if you're traveling on a budget, no excuse. You can get around Mexico City very cheaply.
And you'll probably get there quicker as well, because if you talk to a Mexican, they will complain about the Mexico City traffic.
So let's move on to a place where actually we did get an Uber to, because I remember doing this. We wanted to get an Uber to an exact street, an exact part of town. It's Taco Street. This place is famous for tacos, and we first heard about this street, which is called Lorenzo Bottorini Street. Good? I nailed it. I know I did.
Lorenzo Bottorini.
Lorenzo Bottorini Street in Mexico City. We saw this place on a program on Netflix, The Taco Chronicles. It's like a series. Every episode's about a different type of taco.
And great.
Yeah, fine. I mean, I'm sold, right? And they mentioned this street, and there's just loads of different taco restaurants. Our favorite was Tacos Los Gueros. Fantastic tacos. A little bit more of the price than you're going to pay. Yeah, of course, of somewhere off the street or some of the cheaper restaurants. This is like, it's not, don't get me wrong, it's not a fancy restaurant. There's no dress code. But for tacos, it's just that step up. It's proper. Like, they know what they're doing there. And we had some great tacos. Tacos al pastor, covered in cheese. Delicious.
So al pastor, if you don't know what that is, it's all the meat is marinated in all of these spices. It's not spicy, but there's lots of spices in it. And they put it together a bit like how they make doner kebab in the Middle East. So it's on a skewer and it rotates round and is cooked. The difference is they put a pineapple at the top. So the juice from the pineapple runs down the meat as it cooks with the spices. And then they put a bit in the taco with it as well. And then you add your onions and your cilantro. And it's so good, guys. Like, it honestly was my favorite taco in the entire time. Whoa. In Mexico.
Wow. So you could go to Lorenzo Bottorini Street and just try a taco in each restaurant. There's loads.
We did it as a bit of an activity with our friend Becky. Like, we got our Uber there and then went, we had like a taco in each place and went down the street. We couldn't eat that many, to be honest.
Yeah, we got full really quick. We were surprised.
They're heavier than other tacos. I feel like the ones on the street are a lot lighter, where these are like heavier and they put like decent amount of cheese in there, and it was just, yeah, very heavy. So I could only eat a few, but it was delicious. I would recommend doing that when you're there. Only safety advice is some of the Uber drivers were kind of wary about taking us there because it's quite near a dangerous area. So I think it's completely fine. I would just say, more than usual, have your wits about you and just be prepared that an Uber driver might be a bit funny about it, but I think you'll be fine.
The next thing to do in Mexico City, can you guess what this is?
Lucha Libre Wrestling.
Nacho! Did you ever watch the film Nacho Libre with Jack Black?
I don't think I did.
I don't think it's very good, but I quite liked it. So, Lucha Libre Wrestling, think, well, yeah, like WWE, WWF, as I know it as a kid. So, like, it's not real wrestling. It's all staged.
Wrestling is staged, isn't it?
That's true. Is there real wrestling?
Boxing? UFC,
boxing. Yeah, that's
true. Cage fighting?
So this is a very Mexican. It's a very traditional Mexican thing to do. Well, I say Mexican. It probably isn't even really that Mexican. It's just kind of turned into a big tourist attraction.
Well, they have a very distinct style, don't they? Because they wear those masks and they have all their cartoon kind of characters to them.
Exactly. Arena Mexico is the stadium in Mexico City. This is the largest venue to watch it in. Okay, so there are other places you can see it. But here it's on every Tuesday, Friday and Sunday night.
Now we've got a little cheap tip for you. You can go on a tour from your hostel, but for a fraction of the price, you can get an Uber there or a Metro by yourself and then you just pay for a ticket on the door. That's exactly what we did and it was a lot cheaper. We paid around 200 pesos each. That's about £7. So I don't know, $9. What did you think about it?
Yeah, so I'm glad we went. It's something to do there. It's an experience. You know, have a few drinks when you're there, have a laugh. And yeah, it's a cheap night out. But just, I'm surprised by myself because when I was a kid, I actually really used to like WWF. I quite enjoyed it. And I knew it wasn't real, but like, I didn't care. But you know, you can go to the cinema and watch a film. It's not real, but you can still enjoy the film. But I must admit, as I've got older... No, either I've got older and wiser or the acting in wrestling has got worse and worse. Maybe as a kid, I knew it was fake, but the acting was so good, I forgot it was fake. But I just think now when I watch wrestling, I really don't like it. I think it's quite cringe and quite embarrassing, but I'm glad we did it, but I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, I'd recommend going. But weirdly, on this whole big trip around the world, this is the second time we were going to wrestling because we did it in Bolivia. We went to the Cholita wrestling, which is the local women who are wearing like local dress and actual dresses and skirts, and they start beating each other up. It's very weird. I think this is better. This is more on a professional scale here in Mexico City.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still not really my thing. It's a great place if you want to buy presents for people. Like I bought my friend Adam his Mexican souvenir here. I got him a Mexican Lucha Libre mask. You can buy them on the inside that are like really expensive. And then there are ones on the outside, like on the street just outside the arena, which are much cheaper. Adam, I bought you the cheaper one.
Yeah, you did.
I was on a budget, hun, so deal with it.
How much did his souvenir cost? Like,
probably 10p.
10p? I thought £2.
No, I think it was like £2, yeah.
Bargain. But he wears it every day.
He loves it. He wears it
in bed.
In the bedroom.
It's funny because it's true.
We gave him the mask and then just before we were going to bed and we were staying at his house and him and his fiance went into the room and we heard a lot of giggling after we gave him the mask. So the next morning we asked what they were up to, but yeah, we're not going to reveal the details.
Some Lucha Libre. Okay then, now we're working our way through the list of the many, many things to do in Mexico City. And again, why am I reading this? A place we went to was the Teotihuacan Pyramids.
Okay, I remember on the day thinking this is the one word that I really can't grasp, and then I did get it by the end of the day, didn't I?
But you forgot it now.
Teotihuacan.
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 Got it.
Teotihuacan.
So these pyramids, they're just outside of Mexico City, not far. A lot of people do tours where you get like a private bus there. We actually, I'm quite proud of myself because it was tough, but we did it the proper local transport way. But we had to get like a metro all the way to the other side of town, then a bus or two buses, I think. It was a bit of an effort. And then like on the way back later, it rained and we were waiting for the bus to come back. But very cheap. Ask your accommodation or ask a local. They will be able to tell you how to do it yourself. But you can do a tour, like I said. Now, I'm going to let Amy tell us all, what are these pyramids?
Before I forget to say it, this is also a place where you can do hot air balloon rides if you want to. Obviously, it's one of those things where you have to get up at like 3 a.m. But it sounds like I reckon it's a really good place to do it. So if that's something you're interested in, then yeah. Hot air balloon rides at the Teotihuacan Pyramids. Right, this was one of the first great cities of the Western Hemisphere.
Wow.
Okay. And its origins are a mystery. Just don't know what happened. It was built by hand more than 1,000 years before the arrival of the Aztecs in central Mexico.
What? You're telling me that we don't know who built it and it was 1,000 years before the Aztecs?
It's one of those things where you're just mind baffled, a bit like Easter Island. How did the rocks get there?
Yeah.
What happened? And also Cambodia with the temples.
Angkor Wat.
Angkor Wat, yeah. And then, but then we learned they
elephants.
Got the elephants to do it. They Elephant got them slaves. To do all the dirty work. So don't be cruel to animals.
Absolutely. These pyramids, they are amazing. They're fascinating, like, to look at. And I think they look different to your traditional pyramids that look like a triangle shape. These are kind of, they're much Square. Wider. Yeah, square pyramids. They're just kind of, they're much wider and massive. Oh my God, so huge, aren't they? Oh, just, I can't take how big they are. I've never seen pyramids that big before.
Okay, stop.
You've got the sun and the moon pyramid, haven't you? And I climbed up to the top of the sun one. Anyone can, that's a cool thing. You can climb on top of them, which is fun. And
what was the view like? Because I didn't do that, because that was when I was starting to feel a bit ill and I needed to go to the toilet, but I couldn't get to one which had enough toilet paper, so I thought I'd wait till I get home. Oh, wait, I was ill for 8 days and then was put in hospital.
Yeah, that was the start. That day was the start of you having a major illness. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about... I haven't even written it on the show plan. We'll talk about Tijuana at the
you
end as well.
So selfish.
Yeah, so Amy got sick after this day, but... Really amazing pyramids. Like they look spectacular.
But my point was I didn't get to the top view. Because I didn't have any energy to climb the pyramid. So what was it like?
Oh, it was amazing. You can see forever around you in every direction. You can see the whole of Mexico. I'm not exaggerating.
Okay.
No, you can't. You can see forever. Like, it's an amazing view from the top. And I believe when I was up there, I think the sun was starting to go down. Yeah, really spectacular. Like, we've said before, we're not really interested in ruins and archaeological sites, but this is a special one. And Mexico is perfect. If you do like, I think we said in the last episode, if you like archaeological ruins, then I think Mexico is probably the best choice. Maybe controversial to say, probably the best country to go to for that sort of stuff.
Okay, so moving on to talk about accommodation. So while we were in Mexico City, we were staying right in the center near the Zocalo, which is the main square in any city in Mexico. They're called the Zocalos, and that starts with an X, Zocalo. Do you want me to say it again? Zocalo.
Starts with an X. That has blown my mind.
In a hostel called Casa Pepe. Now, this is really, really popular, this hostel. Whenever we looked on booking.com, it was always like fully booked out. So we were very lucky to get a spot. We heard so much about it while backpacking through Mexico on like the Facebook pages and all of that. So yeah, we thought we definitely had to check it out.
And we were able to sit down with the manager, Javi, who tells us why this hostel is so unique.
Every hostel is different, as well as every person is different, no? At the end, we are made of people, and I always try to put this value on. We create Casa Pepe from a philosophy investigation or research. It's called Pepe because José Vasconcelos. José Vasconcelos was the one revolutionary philosopher of the Mexican Revolution. He was the first Minister of Education of America. He invented the Ministry of Education even before than the United States done. And he was the one who pushed the muralist movement. He decides to culture all the society. You can imagine the Mexican society in the 1920s. And they need to read, they need books, but they didn't know how to read. So he used the Catholic tradition of show the history of Mexico through the paintings and the glasses, no, in the church. But he did it in the public buildings. This was the way how he started to talk with these painters of the epoch and start to create a new identity of Mexico. maybe the most important, one of the most important artistic movements of the 19th century, in the world.
Wow.
And here we try to give to all the guests this idea of the Mexican identity through the paintings,
yeah,
but also through the culture, but also through the tours, it's also through the contact with the locals, as we told before. The touristic system was made by the rich people of the
high society.
The name of tourists was invented by the high society of the 1815 England society that had enough money and time to travel through Europe, no?
Yes.
And now when TripAdvisor appears, or with all the social media appears, people start to think or to tell about the experience, as you do, for example, today. So when you are talking about the experience, you are not talking about if it's the quality was 1 star, 2 star, 3 star, 4 star, or 5 star. You are talking about some intangible. You are talking about the people that welcome you in the place. You are talking about the if your hotel is just in front of the Torre Eiffel, and this is perfect for give the ring to your fiancé, no? And this is how is changing the world of tourists. Now, okay, we are talking about, we have to have this quality in the bed, in the breakfast, in the bath, but the important thing is the other part, no? It's, as I say, is the 4B, the beat, is the motion that you have in the place. And what is the most important part of the motion? The people. And Mexico is winning in this part. Mm-hmm. Mexico has amazing people, maybe it's one of the best country.
They're very hospitable. Warm and hospitable.
Yeah. And this is what we have to push, and this is what I try every day to give them the opportunity to think about what they are as Mexican and give it to the people. Mm-hmm. And don't be this typical from this guy or this receptionist that welcome to this hotel, Mr. John.
Yeah.
No, this is what we try to make it different. It's difficult because we are a hotel in all the process, but we are a hostel in the from the front deck to outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But well, it's the challenge at the end.
Yeah. That's what I like about Casa Pepe. I think it looks incredible. I love how you have all this artist, and it's very Mexican. You can see, like, as you walk to reception, you've got Alebrije above you, which is like a spirit animal. Uh-huh. And I love that, and that you've got this painting by Cejas.
Yeah.
But I think that was my main point that I loved about this place, is that it just looks beautiful. And I think there's some bits that could pass you by, but if you know about Mexican culture, you see, oh, that's cool. Yeah. And you understand where everything comes from.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. The place looks stylish. It's in a great location right near the Zocalo, right in the center. But I want to talk about what happens on the rooftop bar. Mm-hmm. You have something called Power Hour. Please explain.
Well, the Power Hour is 1 hour every day that we have from 7 to 8. What we want is to give all the oral guests the opportunity to come back to the hostel. Maybe you go outside, you go to discover the city during all the day, and at night maybe you are a little bit lost in the city, you don't know where to go, you don't know maybe which place to visit, and you decide to go just the first one you see in the street, no? And maybe this is the moment where your experience starts to go down. Mm-hmm. And the reflection was that, okay, we are going to invite you again to come back to the hostel, have this opportunity to have some drinks, meet more people. As you can see, the Power Hour is in the smallest place of the terrace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like in the corner. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a must just to touch all the guests in the moment that you are asking for the beer. And this is a moment that the day starts again. But well, or the night starts. No, you can buy a glass for 40 pesos, and you have a refill of 1 hour of margarita and chela and beer.
Yeah, so it's as much as you can drink for 1 hour. Uh-huh. And for us, that's like, it's less than £2.
Yeah,
it's crazy price
in the center of Mexico City. I love it, it's fantastic, but I feel like I want to tell you it's bad business. Yeah. but it's obviously working because that's why you do it. But yeah, it gets the night started and then people buy more drinks afterwards. Yeah. So I understand it, but if people come in here, definitely don't miss out on the Power Hour. Lots of places have a happy hour, but I think the Power Hour is much better.
Thanks so much to Javi, especially because he also hooked us up with our Day of the Dead plans as well. He really, really hooked us up. We got to experience a traditional Day of the Dead and then also a modern day one with the parade. So thanks to Javi. And if you haven't heard that already, we already have a Day of the Dead episode out, which was super interesting to learn about why they celebrate death and how they can meet their loved ones on the other side again. It's really actually quite a happy celebration.
Yeah, I loved making that podcast and then listening back to it. What, Amy made it? Okay, Amy's going to say, what? Amy put it together, but like getting all the interviews. And then when I listen back, like, it's not often we listen back to our own podcast for enjoyment. Like, we listen to check it's all, you know, sounding 10 out of 10.
We edit it. Good quality. And make it sound good, yeah.
But I really enjoyed listening back to that. So if anyone hasn't heard it, I honestly, I'm saying you should go back and listen to it, because I thought it was brilliant. I loved that episode, The Day of the Dead.
We'll stop blowing our own trumpet now and move on. So our next place was
Puebla, which means town in Spanish. It is a town, only like an hour or two, maybe a little bit more,
an hour and a half.
Yeah, let's say two. 2 hour bus journey from Mexico City. It's just, you know, it's a smaller, more kind of charming version of Mexico City, I guess. Of course, there's not as much to do there as there is in Mexico City, but
I wouldn't agree with that at all.
Go on.
How is it a smaller version of Mexico City?
Because Mexico City is a city in Mexico and Puebla is a town in Mexico. Therefore, it's a smaller version.
I don't think there's any resemblance between the two.
But anyway, my point is, It's a smaller kind of Mexican town. Great, this is a great podcast here. But if you want that kind of charming Mexican city/town, then Oaxaca, Guanajuato City is better for that. I wouldn't say there's anything particularly interesting about Puebla, apart from apparently it's the first perfect city in the Americas. And do you remember what that means, Amy? It's fine if you don't. I'm not testing you.
Isn't it like the way it was designed?
Yeah, so this is an entirely like European town, but in the Americas. So there was no indigenous people here before. It was fully designed by the Spanish when they arrived. So like everything, like the streets, a bit like how you see in the USA, where there's all like straight roads that crisscross each other. And they designed all the streets so that one half of the day, half the street is in the shade, and the other half of the day, the other half of the street is in the shade. So there's always a rest from the hot sun.
Very clever. These Mexicans really are obsessed with like the sun, aren't they? They love like matching it up with the pyramids. You can see the snake going down.
Shadows.
And, like, yeah, shadows and love sun. Love a shadow. They really love a shadow.
So that's the only thing I've got to say about Puebla. Apart from actually also there's a bar there, which is a famous drinking challenge, but it's ridiculous. You have to do like 100 shots of mezcal, what we were talking about earlier. And if you do 100 shots and you survive, then like you win like local fame and respect, but you do also win some money as well. It's not much, but one person ever has completed it. And the second person that got like the closest did like 86 or 87 shots and then had to get rushed to hospital and have their stomach pumped.
I wouldn't recommend it, guys. I don't think it's a popular thing with tourists. It's actually more with locals, but yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
So that's Puebla. Wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, if you've only got time for Mexico City and maybe Cancun and you're like flying in between, but you want the sense of a cute little Mexican town, if you don't have much time, then I'd say go to Puebla because it's very close to Mexico City. But if you've been to these other places that we've been talking about, I wouldn't say that Puebla has much more to offer you. But I mean, if you want a few days out of a big city, then go.
Fair enough. Todo tiene su encanto. Con la casita de colores y los niños jugando.
Next one, Guadalajara. Now this is where things get a little less positive.
Yeah, we really struggled to find any accommodation, like anywhere near the city center or anywhere that was a decent price. Couldn't couch surf either. So I took it upon myself to book like the best thing I could find, which was a hotel in a horrible area of town. The hotel was disgusting.
It was super bad. Like, holes in the sheets and dirty. Gross. The floor hadn't been cleaned for days or weeks. It was bad. But that's not why I was saying that it's not as positive. I think we were in a dangerous part of town. Again, the Uber driver was a bit nervous about dropping us there. It was just everything felt really unsafe. And this is the thing, right? We're meant to spend like 3 or 4 days there, but we ended up leaving after one night because it just felt that dangerous. With everything in traveling, you have to go with your gut. If you don't feel safe, then get out. If you don't think you're going to have a good time, then leave. Because when we left, we put the stories up on our Instagram and some of our listeners got in touch and they were like, oh my God, Guadalajara was one of my favorite places in Mexico. I can't believe you thought it was unsafe. Where we'd heard a lot of dangerous stories around that area since arriving in there, and it felt very unsafe, didn't it?
And do you remember the one night we were there, we thought we might as well go into the city center, get away from this hotel, go in the city center, have some dinner, even walking around the city center, like, just we had a bad feeling, didn't we? And it just didn't seem nice, didn't seem safe. Yeah, this could be really unfair to the city. I'm sure it is a great place, but we didn't like it, so we got out quick. That means because we left, unfortunately, we didn't go to the town nearby called Tequila, where you can go on tequila tours. But we looked into it, done some research. There's a famous like tequila train that you can get, but it was really expensive. I mean, like $100 like US dollars each. We can't be doing that. And it was expensive to stay in the town of Tequila because it's such a small place. I guess it's popular with tourists. So we didn't get to do that, which is a shame. But we got out, and I'm glad we did, because our next place was Puerto Vallarta, another beach town, and we were hoping it wasn't going to be another Puerto Escondido episode, but it wasn't. It was much nicer. It's still far, you know, it was far from my favorite place in Mexico. It was another, you know, tourist beach town. A lot of people from the USA are there, which that's not a bad thing. It's just not very Mexican. But actually, by that point, we wanted to rest. We booked ourselves in a nice place for a week. We had a pool, and that was all we needed, wasn't it? Nice weather and a pool, and we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so like you were saying, there's lots of American expats there. So actually, a lot of the tours are done in dollars. It really had turned away from Mexico and more into America, which I thought was a bit sad. Like, it didn't have that Mexican charm to it, but there were still a lot of great locals there. Like, we stopped one time at a street stand to have some food, and the guy was so charismatic, this Mexican guy and his wife working on the stand. They were amazing. So, yeah, again, if you're in a place like that and you really want to find the locals, then you just got to go searching for them. It was a very big expat area, but still beautiful. I'd recommend going. For me, it wasn't as good as the beaches in, like, Cancun and Bacala. No. But it was definitely better than Puerto Escondido. So it was like in the middle, but closer to Cancun. Like, it wasn't the most beautiful place, but it had such a charm to it. And the great thing there is that you can hire mopeds and quad bikes, and you can go roaming around the town and drive to nearby places, which we did. So we bought a big Jeep because we were with our friend Becky as well. So there were three of us. And we rented this Jeep and we drove to a place called Sayulita. Now, a lot of you listening might have already been, because we got lots of messages from you when we were nearby there on our Instagram story saying, oh, please tell me you're going to Sayulita, because it was their favorite place in Mexico. And I completely see why. Again, very traditional, very Mexican, so much color everywhere. There's lots of papeles picados, which are the Mexican flags that you're seeing in the streets, all the different colored papers. It is just stunning, especially because it was around the time of Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. So yeah, it was just stunning, wasn't it?
Yeah, a real beautiful little kind of hippie beach town, but very busy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of tourists obviously go there. You can stay there. Hotels were a lot more expensive than they were in Puerto Vallarta. So on the one hand, yeah, I liked it. I actually remember the beach area the main beach wasn't very good. The town itself was beautiful, and yeah, loads and loads of tourists. But we just walked a little bit away from town. We read online on a blog to go to a beach called Playa de los Muertos, which is Death Beach, really. Beach of the Dead?
Yeah.
And it's great because it's like a 10 or 15 minute walk away from town. You get away from the crowds. You have to walk past a cemetery to get there, hence why it's called Death Beach or Beach of the Dead. And when you get there, not the most amazing beach, but a nice spot, not too crowded. We had a great couple of hours swimming in the sea. Weather was nice. There was people nearby cooking food on a barbecue if you wanted to pay for food. We had a really nice afternoon there. So Sayulita, I would say, is worth visiting if you're in like that part of Mexico. Even if you aren't, you might find a really nice B&B in Sayulita and stay there for a week and you'll have a great time.
And a week before we were there, our friends Gabby and James were there with her family. They went for like a whole big family vacation over there. And they also went to a place called Punta Mita, M-I-T-A. And they recommended that. We couldn't get there that day because we had to get back for our rental car to like give it back to the rental company. So we didn't actually make it. But if you're nearby, that's also somewhere that you can go. That's Punta Mita. And I think it's really good for like dinner, nice kind of luxurious night out.
Lovely. Let me just say, when you rent a car, I don't know if it's this part of Mexico or any part of Mexico, but when you rent a car, they teach you how to bribe the police. Like, this is not a secret. Like,
very weird.
This will happen if you rent a car. Well, it happened to us. And it's just what you do there. But like, if you're speeding, of course, just don't speed, don't do anything wrong, and hopefully you won't get pulled over. But they said, just have, it was 200. Yeah, have 200 pesos ready in your hand. Discreetly shake the officer's hand because he might have his boss with him. And if a supervisor sees him taking a bribe, then he'll be in trouble. So you just casually give him the 200 pesos and then there'll be no ticket. Or if you do get a ticket, there could be like £20, which would be like two or three times the amount of the 200 pesos, if you get me.
Because if you don't bribe them, they're likely to keep your passport or your driving license, which obviously isn't good if you're traveling because you need to get around. But yeah, it was so official that it was on a video. It wasn't that the guy we were renting from actually just told us. He said, sit down and watch this video. And within the video, advice on like how to drive on the roads and signs, they were telling you, it was a full-on video showing you how to handshake
and
bribe.
Put on your seatbelt, go on the right side of the road. This is how you indicate. This is how you bribe.
It's so weird. Right, I think we've come to the end of our Mexican adventure.
Tijuana. My mistake, Amy. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, sorry to interrupt you, Amy. Very rude. So what we then did, which you guys don't really need to know this, but we flew back to Mexico City. Then from Mexico City, we wanted to get all the way to LA, which is a long way still to go. Mexico's a big country. The prices for flights from Mexico City direct to LA were expensive, like £200 or £300. We were clever. We got a £60 flight to Tijuana, which is on the border of the USA, like the Californian border. And from there, we walked across the border and we got a bus to LA. That is a great way to get to LA for much, much cheaper. And you'll still get there in a day. But Tijuana, we'll just mention briefly. We have heard through friends of the show, The Budgeteers, on their YouTube channel, or we saw, they loved Tijuana. They had a fantastic time couch surfing there. It's actually a place that's got a very bad reputation. I think it was once the most dangerous city in the world. And once you get that reputation, it's hard to shake it. So I don't think many people go there. But just briefly, like, what did you think of it, Amy, when we were there?
Well, I saw it from the Uber from the border and then out the hotel window because, like I said earlier, I was ill. I stayed in the same hotel room for like 8 days. I couldn't move. And then I saw the inside of a hospital. So if you need the hospitals in Tijuana, they are very good. I mean, when I got picked up by the ambulance, they came in and they actually said to me, do you want to go to the dirty hospital or the expensive one? I was like, that's quite a predicament, that.
How expensive is this expensive one?
And yeah, and how dirty is the dirty one?
Yeah, we went to the nice one and it was like $100, which is good. Like, yeah, Amy was ill. We still to this day don't really know if it's an allergic reaction or some dirty food or dirty water that you consumed.
But I didn't eat for 5 days. How ill I was.
You in a bad way. Went to hospital, you're on a drip, and then the next couple of days you start to feel a bit better. And we've been stuck in Tijuana for like 8 days at this point, and we just wanted to leave. So even though you weren't 100%, we then made our way to LA. So it's a real shame that Mexico ended on a bad note for you.
Yeah.
Because we're going to round up now. But I would just say, yeah, we didn't see much of Tijuana. It seemed very Americanized. People were driving around in big trucks, weren't they?
Yeah, and what I found fascinating was we were talking to our Uber driver and he said that growing up in Tijuana in Mexico, but he couldn't get Mexican TV. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
They could only get US TV channels. So he grew up learning like his English was perfect,
yeah, it was.
But he's Mexican.
Yeah.
And so his Spanish was like perfect as well. It's a strange area of the world, but I find it so fascinating. And everyone was really cool there. Like, it's the type of place where, you know, someone might be walking towards you and you might be a bit intimidated by them. But as soon as you talk to them, they're like the loveliest person you've ever met.
Yeah. Don't let the reputation scare you. I wish we had more chance to see more of Tijuana and, you know, couch surf and just that whole kind of Baja Peninsula, like Baja California, that part of Mexico. It looks great. And we couldn't see it, unfortunately. But we did see a lot. That brings us to the end. And yeah, it is a shame that, Amy, you know, you ended Mexico in a bad way, because we spent 3 months there or I can only speak for myself, but I thought it was fantastic. It was a brilliant place, which, like Brazil, you know, one of our favorite, well, Brazil is our favorite, but like Brazil, it's got a bad reputation. I think Mexico probably has got a worse reputation than Brazil has. It depends who you're talking to.
In terms of safety, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a massive holiday destination as well. I think that side of Mexico couldn't get a better reputation.
That's true. Cancun, yeah. Everyone would go to Cancun and not question it. But some people might be scared to go to Rio. So, yeah, you're right. But I think all the other parts of Mexico we went to, it had everything I wanted it to have. I was looking forward to going to Mexico for like specific things that I wanted from it. And it did them all for me. Like, I was so happy and so satisfied in Mexico. And it is a real shame that 99% of it is fantastic and the people are so nice and friendly and helpful, but that 1% of the troubles Mexico has, mainly with cartels and, you know, trafficking drugs, just simply drugs going from South America to North America and they go through Mexico. And it's because of that's why they have a lot of their problems. And it's a real shame, but fantastic. I loved it. I'm going to say second or third favorite country. Second favorite country above India. So that's Brazil, Mexico, India for me. I loved it.
And I just want to completely second everything that you just said. It was a fantastic country. We went there knowing we would spend 3 months there. And actually, another tip, if you're a UK citizen, you can spend up to 6 months in Mexico with just a tourist visa.
For free.
180 days. I believe that's the same as the US, but don't quote me on that. You'd have to check with your government website. But yeah, what a fantastic place. We knew we would love it. And that's why we wanted to spend a considerable amount of time there and really, really get into the depths of the country. And I think that's what we did. So we need to mark this country out of 10. We have three categories as normal: culture, price, and nature. Culture out of 10, Nick, what would you give it?
When you think of Day of the Dead, things like that, it's got to be 10. Love the culture there.
I would give it a 10 as well, because if you look at the food, look at their history, there's so much to explore. I'd give it a 10 out of 10. Price. I know what I'm going to give it. I would give it a 9 out of 10. It's not the cheapest place I've ever been, but I think the value of what you can buy there is really good. Food is super cheap. I think tours are priced adequately, as they should be. Yeah, I think 9 out of 10.
Get out of my head. I was going to say 9 out of 10 as well. It's just the buses that, for me, let it down. They are expensive.
And our last category, nature out of 10.
I'm struggling with this because it's amazing. Like Cancun, like that area, that coast, beaches, cenotes, Bacala. I'm just thinking it might be missing like snowy mountains to have everything. Like Chile, you know, you got desert, snowy mountains, you got a bit of everything.
Beaches.
But then like in Huasteca Potosina, our last mini episode, it's like some of the best nature I've ever seen in my life. So I'm going to go 10.
Okay, you're going 10. I feel like I can't give it a 10, but I don't know why.
Yeah,
that's
what I was thinking, but it's Huasteca Potosina has put the nature up to 10 for me.
I'm going
to
give it a 9.5, and it is just so high because of the cenotes. We spoke about that in our last main Mexico episode a lot. They are the sinkholes. If you don't know what they are, they're like big deep sinkholes that filled with rainwater, and they were worshipped by the gods by the Mayans. Incredible places, and you can find hundreds around the area.
So much fun.
So much fun, and yeah, just fantastic. But yeah, I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10. So lots of very high scores there for Mexico. Please get in touch with us. Let us know if you've been, if you agree, if you disagree with us on Mexico. And yeah, if you're going, like, I hope this episode has given you lots of tips and tricks on how to get around this amazing country. Now, Nick, what's our next mini episode?
Yeah, next one is actually a guide to Machu Picchu and how to do it for the cheapest price.
Yes, there's three ways to do it, and we are telling you the cheapest way because we did it ourselves, so we can give you all the advice on that. That's our next episode. Don't forget, you can support us on Patreon, YouTube. We have merchandise, or even give us an iTunes review or Spotify. Guys, we really do appreciate you listening. We see the numbers. We can see lots of information about you guys, you know, gender, age, how you're listening, when you're listening, and it really does spur us on. So thank you so much.
See you next time, guys. Yeah, you can get in touch with the show. You can email us at whatthefoepodcast@gmail.com. We are also on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are also on Patreon. For more information on all those things, you can go to our website at www.whatthefoetravelpodcast.com.